Open your Bibles up. Matthew chapter 18, please. No, piece of paper. This is the chapter of Matthew where it says, "Thou shalt not shave off thy beard." Matthew chapter 18, the first six verses for the sermon, because it means so much. Jesus has prepared himself for arguments that were coming toward him. As a matter of fact, the subtext at the beginning of that says how the disciples, his own people, were arguing, and here's where we find them. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." That's a heavy set of verses, but with so much power and so simplicity. Let's look toward them in prayer. Father, set aside our labor, set aside our mind. Don't let us focus on anything except here now. Let us delve into this word. Let us glean from it. Let us get closer to you. Let the words that will come out, they're from you, not me. And let them strengthen us, Father, for the walk we have to take, and remind us of the steps where we've been. This we hand over to you through the Holy Spirit, leaning on Jesus. Through his name we pray. And all of his children said very loudly, Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Got you this time, right? Do you understand why I say that? Those are two words strung together. They are simple little words. And a lot of people utter those words, good morning, and they don't think about it. To me, they hold a meaning. If I look at you and say good morning, I mean it. I don't want you to have a morning that is full of pain. I don't want you to have a day coming by you that is going to rip and tear at you. I want you to have the blessings of a good morning. Two simple words. Why do you say them? Because it means just so much. It means so much to say to someone, good morning. That's the basis for the sermon. Simplicity. Simple. Because sometimes in the most simplest form, we find things that mean so much. When you say good morning to somebody, you're saying to them what? You're saying to them, I'm glad to see you. I'm blessed to be in front of you today. I want you to have the blessings that God offers today. And if your day is to be hard, which I promise you it will, that at the end of the night when you lay your head down, you'll still know he's there. That's the part we forget about. I love being the way that I am because, as my wife will tell you, I'm about a half a bubble off plumb. And I enjoy being half crazy. And I live for it. I walk into the donut shop in the morning. Not every morning because, you know, I'm supposed to be on something that resembles a diet. But on those occasions, when I do, I walk up to the counter and I say, good morning. And they always step back. And I don't know why, because I'm happy to be there. Not just because, you know, there's chocolatey filled goodness there on the shelf behind me, but because I genuinely believe that if we were more of the Christians that we are trying to be, we would say good morning and we'd mean it. Why? Because it means so much. And this is why I make you do it. I don't get, well, I actually do, but the pleasure don't come from just getting you out of them seats in the morning. The pleasure comes from hearing it. Y'all need to hear yourselves
when your time comes that you get up and you greet everybody in this church. The attitude changes. The atmosphere changes. It becomes what Christ wanted. The Holy Spirit kicks into gear. He goes alive. And pretty soon, I'm ready to go. And I'm telling you, I'm fired up this morning. It could be a combination of the cool air. It could be a combination of a bunch of different things. I got a good night's sleep last night. Fell asleep in my easy chair reading about tractors and steam engines. Do you realize the kind of dreams I had last night? I was so excited to get to church this morning, I even forgot my watch. And I don't feel quite right. My arm should have a watch on the end of it. But it's that simple, meaningless thing that can mean just so much. Celeste Sibley. Now, I know none of you all know who she is. She was at one time a columnist for the Atlanta Constitution, a newspaper down there. And she had three children, and she took them to the diner for breakfast. Anybody ever in here ever taken little children into a restaurant for any reason whatsoever? Oh, ain't that an exciting time? And I mean little. Let's cut their ages off at 6. Oh, I can remember them days. Try having two of them at once. You're reaching over there, put that away. And they go in the crowded diner, there's nowhere to sit. And Celeste recalls that they only could sit up at the counter and they had to take separate seats at the counter. 8-year-old Mary was at the far end of the counter. And when her food came to her and when she was served, she called out to her mother in an extremely loud voice, "Mother, don't we say grace in this place?" And the whole restaurant went quiet. Of course, you know how Mom's about to get. Celeste says before she could answer, the man at the counter said, "Yes, we do, sister. You go on ahead and say it." And everybody went quiet and bowed their heads. And Mary bowed her head and said in the most clearest voice, "God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food." Amen. Simple. Because it means just so much. Today, at some point, we're going to dedicate little Miss Abigail. Now, in some worlds, what's that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means it's something so simple as a baby, and they are simple at the beginning. Oh, yeah, you got to burp them and feed them and change their diapers. That's what the wife is for. No, I took my fair share, believe you me. I did not like feeding them because every time I did, they threw up on me, but I did everything else. But they're simple. They're right there. And they mean so much. We're dedicating today Miss Abigail. What does dedication mean? It means a bunch of things to me. It means you are, as a parent, stepping out against this world, against everything outside that door that says Christianity is stupid, Christianity is an outdated religion, Christianity is wrong, Christianity teaches false things, Christianity is just the one I heard this week, is just a false path to a place that don't exist, and that means heaven, and I got so mad, thank goodness I still like my television, or I'll throw the hammer through it. Watching a movie this week, we saw that movie, Heaven is for Real. We will be, Greg, listen to me, we will be showing that movie, because it is. It's just that simple, because it means just so much. This is where we stand in dedication. Let's go back to the scripture for a moment. I want you to understand why in the world I chose that heavy scripture. Jesus is there with his disciples. If you don't get anything from reading the four Gospels, I want you to pull one thing out of it. Jesus had to always have, on occasion, watching those 12 around him, just a little bit of a smirk right there. Because what are they arguing about? Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest in heaven? 12 men are arguing like little children over who's going to be the greatest in heaven. And so they go to him, hey, tell us who's going to be the greatest in heaven. Because we're the 12, right? And I've done more than him. And I got all them loaves of bread. Remember that time, Jesus?
Who's going to be the greatest in heaven? Here comes that smirk. And he calls over a little child. The Bible says, called over a child and had him stand right there among them. And he said, I'll tell you what. Unless you can become this simple, you don't know heaven. Because it means just so much. That's what he said. I know the Bible says, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, I'm going to give you the easy version to understand. Unless you make it this simple, unless you quit trying to fool around with it, unless you understand that this little simple piece means just so much, you will miss the glory of heaven and you will be left behind. Then he goes on. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what a baby can do to a full-grown man? Let's go down the list. Ready? I ain't afraid of nothing. I know how to move cows. I have rode bulls. I ride a motorcycle. I cut, beat, maim, bruise, tear myself up on them junky old antique tractors. I will walk down a dark alley because I don't care. You put a little baby in my arms and I turn into a kid. Look at the little. And I've seen it happen to all of you. If you had that baby in your hands, it makes you become that humble. You put that little thing in your life. You've got it right there in your hands. Humility has to take over because now you understand. You have now dedicated yourself to this life, to raising this child, to bringing this child forward. And if you are dedicating that child will be raised up to understand God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you have put that child on a path. No matter how far out they go, they'll know that path still exists. Always. I grew up, as you well know, let's see if I can get it right, preacher's son, grandson, great-grandson, great-great-great-great-grandson, nephew. All of them preachers in the brethren faith. I was dedicated. Didn't want to be no preacher. Remember how that works? Let me see here. What's that note? I always said, I ain't going to be no preacher. Caution. Be sure your brain is engaged before your mouth is in gear. I told people, I ain't preaching. I ain't having none of that foolishness. I ought to have that like on a button right there, shouldn't I? We all should wear that. But it's that simple. And it means just that much. Jesus goes on. He said, and whoever welcomes this little child welcomes me. Whoever welcomes something this simple welcomes me into your heart because it is just that much. But if anyone takes away the ability of that child to know me, it would be better if you were dead. Period. You all think that bothers me. It doesn't. I don't pay attention to it. I hear that, it sounds just like a little tractor running. Whoever would take something that simple and ruin it, in my name's sake, it would be better if they put a millstone around your neck and throwed you in the ocean. Jesus makes it very clear. It's that simple because it's just that much. That we need to understand how precious the kingdom of heaven is and how we dedicate not only our lives to it, but our children. That's what dedication is. That's what's going to take place today. Oh, we'll hear some pretty words. And we'll hear some neat things. But the bottom line is, at the end of all of it, this child will be dedicated to the life of Jesus Christ. Not baptized. That's for her to come to. She will be given the path. Back in the 1950s, there was a well-known radio personality. Let's call him Carl. We'll just name him Carl for right now. And he lived in Hollywood back in the 50s. And Carl was a big star. See, Carl had been a cowboy. He had been a singing cowboy. He had rode with Gene Autry. You can tell where my heart lies. And Carl had become famous. And unfortunately, Carl got lost in drinking and partying and chasing after women. Nobody could get to him. He was out of control. Carl grew up the son of a Methodist evangelical preacher. Boy, can you see some parallels there? One day, because he was famous for taking his radio program and having a good time with it, he went to see this young preacher back in the 50s, what was holding a tent revival, and took his radio show over there to make fun of him. Carl was going to use him to get material in order to make his show even funnier. Early in the service, the preacher stood up in a pretty big voice and said, "There is one man in this audience that is a big fake." There were probably a lot of people that thought, "That feller's talking to me," but Carl jumped up and ran from the tent show. He thought to himself, "For sure, this man is talking about me." He got back home, and after a couple nights, after getting lost inside a bottle, he showed up at that preacher's door at 2 o'clock in the morning. "When you show up at my door at 2 o'clock in the morning, you better have a good excuse." The preacher swung the door open, and in a drunken fit, he demanded to understand why that preacher was saying that about him, and told that preacher, "You need to pray for me, and you need to pray for me right now." And the preacher said to him, "I ain't going to do it. That's between you and God. It's that simple." But he invited him in, and they sat, and they talked, and they talked, and hours on end became sunlight. And when the sunlight came up, Carl fell down on his knees and cried and prayed and let everything behind and gave his heart to the Lord right there. That ain't the end of the story. See, he quit drinking. He quit chasing women. He quit everything that was quote-unquote fun in Hollywood. And soon, well, you know how it is. If you've ever given up that lifestyle, some of those people that claim to be your friends ain't your friends no more. He was ultimately fired by the very radio station that he had made so popular because he had refused to allow an unscrupulous sponsor on his show. The radio station said, "You're out of here." Hard times fell on him. Money ran out. Things got bad for him. He tried writing a couple of songs, Christian songs, but they didn't have a lot of success. He did write one that was a pretty well-known song sung by Rosemary Clooney called "This Old House." Anybody know that song? Oh, yeah, now I see it. You still don't know Carl, though, do you? No. As he continued to struggle, a very long-time friend of his took him aside one time and said, "Now, let me ask you a couple questions here. Let's get this thing simple. All your problems now started when you quit drinking, right?"
"Yeah."
"When you quit running around acting a fool, right?"
"Yeah."
"Everything happened now to you. Everything's gotten bad. Your money's gone, your house is gone, your car's gone. Everything's getting away from you because you got religion, right?" And Carl said, "Yes. Yes." His friend said, "Well, if you like booze so much, don't you ever miss it?" And Carl looked at him and said, "No." His friend said, "I don't understand how you could give it up so easily." And Carl's response was, "It's no big secret. All things are possible with God." And to that, his friend said, "Now that's a catchy phrase. You should write a song about it." And the rest, they say, is history. Carl wrote a song called "It Is No Secret." Everybody know that song? You know Carl yet?
No.
No. You're about to. "It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With his arms open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do." By the way, that fellow that was his buddy, the name was John Wayne. John Wayne. And in 1963, during a crusade in Los Angeles, Billy Graham called Carl up to the podium and announced to the world that that was the turning point for Billy Graham and the Billy Graham Crusade, the night that Carl was saved. because Carl began to bring them in. Billy Graham said, "We struggled to get people up front. We struggled to get them in the stands. We struggled to get them in the pews. And shortly after Carl was saved, he brought forth many." Graham said that Carl was number one radio personality in all of Los Angeles, and he drew in crowds. And when he wrote "It Is No Secret," he changed the ministry of Billy Graham. Now let's get back here for a minute. That's a dedication that is so simple that he humbled himself like that little child because it was just so much. Say amen.
Amen.
Do you know Carl? No, you don't, because I'm not done yet. Now's when I get to have some fun, because I know something. Now I know two things that nobody else in this room knows. Carl wrote another song that I will guarantee you that everyone in this room knows. I have to get a drink of water. And I'll sing it for you. I love doing this. It's funny stuff to me. Because I know and you don't. And I can be a little bit smug at the moment. Of course, after I'm done, then you'll know. Bear with me. I'm not even going to tell you the name of this song. I'm just going to sing it. And then you'll know a song that Carl wrote that is super popular. Mommy told me something every little girl should know, and it's all about the devil, and I've learned to hate him so. She said he causes trouble when you let him in the room, and he'll never ever leave you if your heart is filled with gloom. So let the sun shine in, face it with a grin. Smilers never lose, and frowners never win. So let the sun shine in, face it with a grin. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in. You know Carl now, don't you? Anybody in here not know that song? You better tell me. You don't know that song, Sarah? Man, you need to watch Flintstones. When you are unhappy and the devil wears a grin, but oh, he starts to run when the light comes pouring in. I know he'll be unhappy 'cause I'll never wear a frown. Maybe if we keep on smiling, he'll get tired of hanging around. So let the sun shine in. You can sing it. Face it with a grin. Smilers never lose, and frowners never win. So let the sun shine in. Face it with a grin. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in. When I forget to say my prayers, the devil jumps with glee, but he feels so very awful when he finds me on my knees. So if you're full of trouble and you never seem to win, you can open up your heart and let the sun shine in. Now everybody, here we go, ready? I want to hear it. So let the sun shine in. Face it with a grin. Smilers never lose, and frowners never win. So let the sun shine in. Face it with a grin. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in. That's Carl. Carl Stuart Hamblin. He wrote that song in 1955, and you all know that song. And now you know Carl. And now you know something as simple as that song. Who in this room, other than Sarah, we'll get you schooled away, who in this room ain't never heard that song? That's right, because it means just so much. But here's something that I stumbled across while you were singing, Sonja.
It didn't look in here.
You weren't paying attention to me.
I pay attention to everything, honey. Until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, I'll carry on. Who wrote that song? His wife, Susan Hamblin. Carl Stewart Hamblin. Something just so simple. Jesus Christ makes it known. He tells you right then and right there, I just want it to be that simple. In Mark, we hear the words that we all know. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them, and when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for they are like the kingdom of heaven. And God belongs to such as these. James and Allison, please bring her up here. Who's coming with you? Is it just you all? All right, let me all come up here. Just stand right there. Is she awake?
Yes, she
does. Don't pinch her. This is James and Allison Kirby. They've got a whole pile of family back there. I'm not even going to try to name them all, because it doesn't matter at this moment. I want you all to see them later. But at this moment, this is the face of what dedication means. You understand? This is what Jesus Christ meant in such a simple term, because it just means so much. There is no greater cause for thanksgiving than God's gift of new life. And we stand on the edge of a miracle as we view it. We can only marvel at what God accomplishes through the love of two persons. Still, there is no greater cause for prayerful dedication and seriousness. These little ones you hold, you also mold. They stretch to walk in your footsteps. They strain to speak your language. They labor to imitate your actions. They speak as you speak. They learn to love what you love. Whatever is important to you will be important to them. You cannot deceive the little ones. They see deeper than the grown-ups with whom we rub elbows. They see the heart in a smile, and they see the allegiance in that use of time. Life has the privilege of rearing a child. It's heavy, 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 heavy with responsibility. Recognizing your need for wisdom and guidance, you have come to that divine place. You've come for the divine help and the blessing of God that may be upon you, Allison, you, James, and upon baby Abigail. You have come to make your vows before the family of God and solicit their prayers and support for this great task. And you have come with the support of your family. That's That's what this will be about. I just have a few things to answer. God has entrusted this precious child into your care. Do you now present this child before God in solemn consecration? If so, answer, we do. Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to the task of instructing little Abigail to the Christian way of life to the best of your ability? And will you provide a home atmosphere of devotion and prayer on daily dedication to a Christian way, so that by your example, by your teachings, by your actions, your child will one day come to confess the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
I charge you to be faithful to these solemn vows. May the blessing of God rest upon you, and may His will be done in your tender life. And to you, family, and that's all of you, because you all are. Dedication is a recognition of responsibility and a request for divine help. Divine. For the church, it is a declaration of intention, because being the family of God, the church has a relationship with both the parents and the child. And you must regularly see to that need within the baby. As these children are dedicated, as this child is dedicated, as Abigail is brought forward now, we charge the members of this fellowship dedicated to fulfill a sacred calling on their behalf. If you will do that, then please answer, we will.
We will.
My turn. Abigail, on this day you are dedicated to the family of God. You are dedicated to life everlasting and to the instruction for the way that you can choose. You are dedicated to all of these here in front of you. And you are dedicated to Jesus Christ. Through Him we have everlasting life. Parents, you are dedicated to that. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open up the portals of heaven right now and let the angel that belongs to Abigail sing the loudest at this moment. We would ask, Father, that this brother and sister in Christ to me know you stronger and put forth more to Abigail in her instruction. Father, we ask that the blessings here that are being received through the prayers of this family, both by blood, relation, and otherwise, all members of the family of God, come forth and give praise to you for baby Abigail. And that you would pray for her constant safety, watched over, and be blessed in the name of Jesus. We put this all together, Father, that at dedication, we remember that something so simple as this child, as this baby, teaches us that it means so much to know you. And so I charge, Father, that you don't let us forget to love and care for Allison and James and for Abigail as if they were our very own, because they are. Bind us together now, Father, in the name of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen. Leah, lead us off. Somebody lead us off. Everybody stand up, please.
Oh, Jesus, we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me. 185. There are some verses that go with it.
185.
Jesus loves me.
Brothers and sisters, we end it right here. We end on the foundation of dedication. Why? Because something this simple means so much. Because Jesus said, bring them to me. Because they are like the kingdom of heaven and they belong to God at their outset. Because in our faith, we follow simply believing in Jesus Christ. And we see dedication against all else that the world can assail in this beauty, in this glory. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you now, along with the gathered members of the church, of the body of Christ, that you would rain down blessings, understanding, and care upon Allison, James, and Abigail. That you would make James the father that he was intended to be and give him the power from on high to lead his family, to be the head of it. That you would enlighten Allison that she is the vessel, that she brought forth life. And that together shall a man leave his mother and father and shall cleave unto his wife and become as one. So have they done, Father. Now put this together under your care and keeping. Remind us all of the simplicity of faith and the meaning that is so much. And bind us all together here and now and forever. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen.